All right, good afternoon. Thank you all for joining us here today. I can tell we have a high-quality audience today because you all obviously have the persistence and tenacity necessary to actually find this room and get here, so congratulations for that. So I'll be talking about value and limitations of on-farm research from a crop genetics company perspective, perhaps a bit more simple and traditional application of participatory research than what we just heard about. So just to give a little background on what we do and the perspective that I bring to the table here, on-farm research is a huge part of Pioneer's business and has been for a long time. We have over 10,000 trials per year across North America that we conduct on-farm. Hybrid variety performance is a large component of these trials. And then agronomic management trials, which is really more of my focus, planting practices, seed treatment, soil fertility, insect management, disease management, so really running the gamut on a lot of different topics. As far as my experience with the company, I've been with Pioneer a little over 10 years. First few years, I was directly involved as a protocol manager in some of our on-farm trials related to our Optimum AcreMax products, which are the blended BT refuge corn products prior to their commercial launch. The last several years I've been in more of a communications role where I'm summarizing and publishing results of our on-farm research and some of our other projects. And then when I'm not doing that, I also own and operate a farm in northern Illinois with my dad and my brother. So I've kind of have the participant perspective there as well. In fact, before I came here, I spent 3 days last week out running the combine. So in terms of the benefits and challenges of on-farm research, really the greatest value from our perspective on this that on-farm research brings to the table is the diversity of growing environments that you can get into. And that's why on-farm research has been and will always continue to be an important part of what we do because of that diversity of growing environments that allows us to get into. And I'll be walking through a few examples of some of the projects, on-farm research projects that I've been engaged in the last few years and looking at those through a few lenses. First of all, the company value, what Pioneer gets out of these trials, and that's quite often is performance of products and management practices over that wide range of environments. The grower value, what they're getting out of it, of their participation in the protocol, the greatest value to them is seeing new products, new practices, how they perform in their environment. And then also be looking at some of these projects as to how the on-farm component complements more of a controlled traditional research program for some of these subject areas. And then after walking through some of those examples, I'll look at some of the limitations that I've seen involved with on-farm research and really the fact that you're trying to conduct research within a system that's not set up to do research and some of the limitations that brings to the table. So this the hybrid and variety advancement and characterization isn't really part of my focus. I think it'd be an omission to overlook this because it is such a big part of what Pioneer does. A large component of our on-farm presence is testing hybrids and varieties. We have a couple different setups for that. Our impact plots, our intensively managed product advancement and characterization trials, is our final phase of our product advancement trials. Those are on-farm, but they're managed by Pioneer research teams. So those wouldn't really be, citizen science in that regard. Our product knowledge plots are more of a traditional on-farm grower-managed strip trial that we do with our newly commercialized products, pushing those out over a much wider area to look at product stability. In terms of agronomic trials, a big area that we look at is plant density response in our on-farm trials. We have a map here of our trials from 2016, a lot of those out across North America. And this, we have also have a significant effort in characterizing plant density response of different corn hybrids in our traditional research trials. So this on-farm effort is supplement to that. So it allows us, from our perspective, to get another look at product performance across a wide area. Our trials typically consist of four products at four different plant populations. In terms of the density response, we don't get a lot more value out of what we see on farm than what we do in our traditional research station trials, and I'll get into the reasons for that later. Growers, the value they get out of these is looking at new products and really the opportunity to tweak their planting practices, which is, you know, it's a simple thing, but it's a decision that has to be made every year and can make a difference in yield and agronomic performance. So corn response foliar fungicide, this is one I've been the steward of ever since I started with Pioneer in 2007, fresh out of grad school with a degree in weed science. I get to my first major project is working on foliar fungicides. So at the time, if you remember 2007, foliar fungicides were a hot new thing in 2007. So it was just trying to pull together information, since nobody really had any, on what the expected value of foliar fungicides in corn would be. And that's grown over the years. Up through 2016, we've done over 1,400 different on-farm comparisons with those. And this involved both just one-off grower treated, non-treated side-by-sides, as well as some actual organized protocols. So we've gotten quite a bit of benefit out of that, just seeing, over a wide scale what the range of expected yield benefits can be. And it's been a nice complement to some of our traditional research in that area. We've been able to drill down in different areas in our controlled research trials, looking at specific products, different genetic resistance to different diseases, targeting environments with specific diseases. But that's just by its very nature is limited in the number of environments you can get into. So this on-farm effort has been a nice supplement to that, just getting into a wider range of environments. The Optimum AcreMax products, this is one I mentioned. I was protocol manager on this. This was our pre-commercial testing of integrated BT refuge products. The primary value for the company in doing these is, and here this was a very similar protocol to what we did on our research stations, but just the ability to get into more environments, more high-pressure rootworm locations, and grower interest in this. They got to see a new product concept. You get hands-on experience with that. Get to prove to themselves that having a 5-10% refuge in the bag doesn't mean that 5-10% of your plants are going to be laying on the ground out there, and really prove the product to them. Multi-hybrid planting. This was a trial we did a couple of years ago. This is one where we actually needed the field scale to do it. And growers, participants in this got hands-on experience with a new piece of technology with the multi-hybrid planter. You know, we got a look at the potential value of that technology, as well as an opportunity to validate some of our product characterization and placement that went into those trials. So when you think about limitations of on-farm research, and I'll go through a few of these, and I've bucketed these out into three different categories. Limitations that can likely be overcome with improved technology, ones that might partially be overcome with improved technology, and those that are just kind of inherent to the system of doing on-farm research, and technology is unlikely to allow us to overcome those challenges. And one right off the bat I'll talk about, because I've been working on this lately, is yield monitor data quality. And that's yield monitor data. We depend on that for a lot of these on-farm trials, particularly larger field scale ones. And yield monitor data has some limitations to it. There's other poor calibration, other sources of error that can creep in there. And I just completed a summary, haven't published this yet, looking at trials that we've done on farm where we had both actual weights and yield monitor data for the same trials. And it was a very small percentage of trials, but given the number that we have over 4 years, it added up to be quite a few. So almost 300 trials where we had both weights and yield monitor data. So percentage of those trials where the yield monitor provided both an accurate yield estimate for the products and an accurate ranking of product performance within a trial. Any guesses on that? Success rate to hit both of those? So 28% trials where we were able to do both those things accurately with the yield monitor. Looking at some of our larger scale trials would suggest that about one-third of field scale yield data is probably inaccurate, and I was used plus minus 3% as a definition of accuracy for this analysis. So I think this is a limitation that's could be addressed with improved technology if there's, I guess, sufficient interest and impetus to do that. And just to drill down a little bit more into this, this top chart here is the error rate that we observed across all of our locations. Had 59% that were within 3%, 12% overestimated, 27% estimated. And then the bottom chart here is when I focused in specifically on trials where we had between 12 and 20 entries in the trial. And you can see 41% of them we had accurate ranking of products. Yield monitors selected the top yielding entry half the time. And then we actually had a little over a quarter of them where we weren't getting either accurate yield estimates or accurate rankings of products. And that's, that's difficult. I can tell you from the on-farm experience, yield monitor calibration takes time. There's other errors that can creep in. Just this last week, your recommendation is recalibrate the yield monitor if grain moisture changes more than 4% during harvest. Well, last week, grain moisture percentage changed 4% in 1 day, going from one field to another. So should we have recalibrated? Probably. Did we? No, because we needed to get it done. The data is good enough for our purposes, but when you start rolling that data up into bigger systems, that error can become a problem. Plot quality, on-farm trials. Boy, if there's a way it can go wrong, it will go wrong sometime, somewhere. There's a lot of potential sources of error. Planter errors. I got a new planter, hasn't quite got it dialed in yet, and one row unit isn't planting correctly. Poor stand establishment. Had one trial 1 year damaged by deer. And I categorized this one as one that I think we could overcome with improved technology. I'd amend that just a bit. I think we can partially overcome it. We have better opportunities to monitor plot quality. I think better opportunities to throw out bad data, not necessarily to eliminate some of the sources of error. And just a couple examples, the Planet Lab satellite imagery that we use for our in-circus services satellite imagery. You get just about every day a satellite image of a field. UAV imagery is an opportunity to supplement that higher resolution. Look at a plot. So back when I was managing on-farm trial protocols, this would have been very helpful to know exactly what the trials look like, if they've been planted correctly, what the plot quality is looking like before I even got there. So data input and transfer, this is one I won't spend a great deal of time on, but there's a lot of people in the industry hard at work on this. Our current status, there's still a lot of data that gets passed back and forth on USB drives, which is not an efficient way to do it. So I think we're likely to overcome friction that currently exists in transfer of data. Limitations on plot design and complexity. This is obviously a difficult one working with growers, as it just has to be a fairly simple trial to be able to execute it on farm. And this is an example of a protocol that we've used for several years, a 4-hybrid-by-4 seeding rate trial. So it's a split planter with two hybrids, full-length strips, change populations three times, change out hybrids, and then repeat. So in terms of complexity of an on-farm trial, this is about as high as you can go. And this I think, is unlikely to be overcome with improved technology. There's just limits to what you can do in terms of trial complexity. Location attributes and data collection, this is a challenging one as well. You know, you have the yield monitor data. Do you have other attributes about the location that you can use to put that data to work? And I think, you know, those fungicide trials are a great example of that. We have this massive on-farm fungicide trial data. We don't have really any idea what diseases were present there that might have led to a yield response or lack thereof. So that's just a limitation of that data set. I think this is partially could be overcome with new technology. We're testing out an app now that you can snapshot leaves and get a disease diagnosis with pictures. So opportunities like that to really make site assessment seamless and quantitative, I think, could help in this area. But other limitations there with the AcreMax trials, we did root gradings in those. And just by the very nature of on-farm trials, they're dispersed over a wide area. So data collection, you know, if you're collecting data other than yield, that becomes difficult. And root gradings were difficult to take out of those. You either have one person go out and do them all and spend a lot of time on the road, which I did for a few years, or you get several different local people engaged and potentially have some inconsistencies in how the data is collected. So aversion to yield loss, this is a limit with on-farm trials. If you have a treatment that's likely to result in substantial reductions in yield or harvestability in the trial, that's you're not going to get a lot of growers to buy into doing that. And a couple examples, the AcreMax trials, we wanted an unprotected check there with no rootworm protection so that we could get an assessment of the pressure, rootworm pressure on the site. And that was a hard sell in some cases because growers didn't want to see a field length strip in their field of lodged corn that was yielding 50 bushels below the rest. So in some cases we had to compromise and do a short 100-foot strip where they turned the insecticide off. Some we just weren't able to get that site assessment with the untreated check. Our on-farm population trials is another example. Research trials, we really try to get a full range of density response with our hybrids. So we test them from 18,000 up to 50,000 plants per acre, which really isn't something you're going to get a grower interested in doing. They're not interested in planting at 18,000. 50,000, even if they are interested, they might not necessarily have the equipment capable of going that high. So our on-farm trials typically, you know, we're lucky if we can get a seeding rate range from 30,000 to 42,000. So that limits the value of the data that we're getting out of those trials. Cooperator interest, I think farmers, to their credit, just generally are very interested in testing new things, trying new things out, constantly tweaking their operations. I think there's a general trend that I've heard from people that is, we move towards larger farms and larger equipment. This is just getting a little bit harder to get growers that are willing to take the time to participate in trials. And we're lucky at Pioneer, we have our network of sales reps. You know, we have people on the ground that can help engage growers. We have a lot of sales reps at farm as well, so can lean on them to get some of these trials executed. But I think to the extent that new technology can help make planting and executing a trial less time consuming, I think we might be able to overcome some of this limitation with new technology. So location attrition is kind of a fact of life with on-farm trials. You have trials that won't get planted. Getting the seed to the right place at the right time can be a challenge. Insufficient time during planting, you're trying to plug research into a farm operation, that can be a busy and stressful time. I know planting this year was a prime example of that. In northern Illinois, we got 3 solid weeks of rain that kept us out of the field, and it was after Memorial Day before we got going again. And if we had a trial to do, we were not planning a trial at that point of the spring. We were going to put the hammer down and get everything planted. Half a day to put out a strip trial just wasn't in the cards at that time. You have trials that get planted that end up being lost, and that's kind of inherent if you're trying to target a wide range of environments that can often mean higher risk of drought, flooding, or other factors that can impact the data quality. So here again, I think if opportunities to reduce grower effort can help overcome this. Errors in trial execution, you know, this comes in with having participants that aren't necessarily up to speed on what's necessary to conduct a valid comparison in field. And I've had plots that didn't have border rows, treatments that were misapplied. I had a project with my PhD program. We put a lot of work into it too, but on-farm trial, and we flagged it off so the co-op wouldn't spray it, but they apparently didn't see the flags, so that was the end of that experiment. And we get some intentional modifications of the protocol that can, you know, be necessary to get participant buy-in to tweak the protocol so it's a little more interesting to them. As a protocol manager, that can be frustrating, though. So just to summarize, like I said at the beginning, just the ability to test in diverse environments provides great value from our perspective for on-farm research. You know, growers get experience with new products and practices. A lot of times we can use that diversity of environments to supplement our traditional small plot research efforts. But there are some significant limitations to operating in an on-farm environment, some that new technology can help us address and some that are just kind of inherent to it. So I guess if I had a take-home message to this, you know, the title talks about the future of agricultural research. You know, I see on-farm research, you know, particularly as we see investment in traditional research kind of decline, you know, being leaned on to fill that gap. But, you know, recognizing there's value to gain there, but, you know, there's definitely some things that you can do in a traditional research environment that just aren't doable on-farm. So I think my time's up.
Yeah, wrap that up there. Yeah, 15 to 30 seconds for your question. So I think we'll, if you've got a short question, short answer, I suppose. Okay, well, thank you, Mark. And, thank you.